Him today. I invite you, if you will, to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, and I'll start at the first verse. Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. So now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is reading verses 1 through 9 from 1 Peter, the first chapter. I remember a time when I was about probably 10 years old or something along that line, one of my cousins had asked me if I could come and spend the night with him. And we talked to mother, parents, and it was decided that I could go. And I remember we had a lot of a lot of spending time praying and doing all kinds of things. But as evening set in, and darkness came, I started getting an unsettling feeling deep within. I was starting to get homesick. And the darker it got, the more I just had a longing to be at home. That was my first time dealing with homesickness. It certainly wasn't my last. It seems like as this world grows darker and more difficult, that there is within my heart a increasing homesickness for heaven. I believe more and more real children of God have that longing deep within their heart. The pressures and problems of life seem to be intensifying, and they are seem to be stirring the yearning deep within. I'm not saying I don't have a good time in life. I'm not saying I don't enjoy things in this life. We all do. But there is just something greater over there. There is something that God has prepared that causes me to have a longing just to be home. The saints that Peter was writing to were a group of believers feeling the pressures of life. They were living at a time when these rose persecution had gotten much stronger. And they were considered the outcasts of the world. And Peter knows that life isn't going to get any easier for them. So under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Peter writes this letter to encourage them and to challenge them not to forget who they are and what they have in the Lord. I'd like to preach for just a little while today on the thought of hope beyond this life. Our hope beyond this life. I would ask the question, if Peter was trying to encourage the saints, what was it he said to encourage them? I believe the first thing we find is that Peter encourages them by telling them that they are specially loved. He says in verse number 2, he gives them in verse 1 their physical situation. Let me start there. He calls them strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That word, strangers, is the idea of being pilgrims and sojourners. Peter was reminding them, this world is not your home. You may be living, Peter says, in these places, but that's only the physical situation. You see, we live in Conley Springs and Valdez. We live in Hickory or Fayetteville or Longdale or Morganton. But this isn't really our home. Our home is in these places. That's our physical address. That is our physical situation. But Peter then in verse 2 gives their spiritual situation. He says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That word elect gets a lot of people messed up. That word elect simply means picked out or chosen by God. Paul makes the statement that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And there are those that get all warped up. And they have the idea, well, that means God chose some to go to heaven, and God chose others to go to hell. And that isn't what He's saying at all. But it has everything to do with the fact that before the foundation of the world, God's determination was to love and save sinners. It is the idea that God chose before He ever created man, there would be a time man would sin and need salvation. And before the foundation of the world, God said, you know what? I determined to save all who'll come to me. God has made that choice. You see, God offers salvation to all men. Just because God did all that before the foundation of the world. And then He said, according to the foreknowledge of God. That is the idea that yes, God in His infinite wisdom knows who will and who won't be saved. God knows that. Well, does that change my responsibility? Not at all. Because although God knows who will and won't be saved, God still makes salvation available by your choice. God has said, I will save whosoever will come unto me. But God knows who will and won't. But it doesn't change the fact that He loves you and He loves me. You see, our salvation was planned by the Father, and it was performed through the Spirit and purchased by the Son. He said, through the sanctification of the Spirit, under the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Oh, Trinity of God was at work in our salvation. Preacher, you said we were specially loved. I think about that elect. Think about that being chosen. Preacher, help me to understand a minute. Let me give it to you like this. God looked down through the corridors of time. And God chose to save me by His grace when I would bow in an altar and ask Him to come into my heart. God said, you know what? I choose to love you with such an amazing love that one day I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross. That when you, as an 8-year-old boy, bow at an altar at Poplar Springs Baptist Church and ask me to save you, I'm going to save you. And I want to tell you, I'm especially loved today. You say, did He do that for everybody? He did. God loves us all. God loves everyone. God ain't sin, but God loves the sinner. And He said, I choose to love them. If they'll bow the knee before me, I'll save them by my grace. But you know what? Let me tell you how special it is. Because I believe that He had loved me like that. God had been the only one that needed it. Boy, I tell you, I feel special today. I feel special in the eyes of God. So Peter writes to them and reminds them that they are specially loved in a world that tells us we're not important. In a world that says Christians don't matter. In a world that is saying, you bunch of Bible thumpers, why don't you just go away? God looks at us and says, I love you. I chose you as one of my own. I loved you and I've saved you. And you're my own. We are specially loved of God. Secondly, Peter reminds them that they are strategically placed. I remind you again what he said in verse 1. He said to the strangers scattered throughout these places. I told you the idea of strangers were pilgrims and sojourners. But he used the phrase scattered throughout. You see, because of their faith and their persecution, they were scattered all of these different places. But I'm afraid we overlook what that word scattered That's what it means. That word means dispersed or spread like somebody sowing seed. I don't know if you have one, but I remember years ago people would sow seeds that have a bag that put around their neck with a strap. And they hold that spreader. They crank that thing and scatter seeds everywhere. And now they've got a new bush. And they've got a new hook to a longhorn. But the same person, a purpose, scatters them seed. That's the idea of that word, scatter, spin, spread. Preacher, what has that got to do with anything? You see, they were being scattered because of the persecution of Nero. But in reality, they were being sown by the providence of God. You see, God placed them where He wanted them. We may look at our situations as bad luck. We may talk about lives, misfortunes, or we can look at them as being directed by the hand of God as He strategically places us where He wants to use us. I do not say it like this, that office that you hate to go into, it may be just that the hand of God placed you there that He might use you to carry His light into that office. It may be that physical situation that you're in, God planted you there that you might be an encouragement and help to somebody else. It might be that God has placed you in doctor's offices. God may have placed you in hospital beds. God can place you in a doctor's office visiting, having tests run, that you may be a light of His glory and His grace. You see, where you are right now, and why you're there right now, may only be known to God. But I want to tell you, God has us, sowing us, placing us where we are for a purpose. God had put them in Pontus in Galatia, Bithynia, Cappadocia, all of those places to be a light for Him and His glory. I've often asked a lot of questions about, Lord, why have I gone through certain things? Or why are people in our church dealing with certain things? I don't have answers. But I believe that God has placed us in places to be a light for Him. So they are specially loved. They are strategically placed. But then they are tremendously blessed. Notice verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter begins to turn and praise the Lord. And with the words when he said that God had begotten us again unto a lively hope, Peter was saying, we have a living hope in God. There's a lot of kinds of hope today. Some of you are hoping that you've got your pipes protected enough that they ain't going to freeze this week. Some of you may be even hoping that you've got enough gas to get back home. Some of you may be hoping that you bypass the flu this year. But that's not the kind of hope he's describing. He said, our hope to life. Our hope in God is real. Peter seems to be rejoicing in what he realizes that he has in the Lord. Peter said, he hath begotten us again according to his abundant mercy. God hath begotten us again unto this living hope. Somebody said it like this. We were begotten the first time naturally by our parents. But Peter said we've been begotten again. He said, I've had a second birth. I've had a new birth. Peter said that through salvation, God's abundant mercy, I was born again unto a living, alive hope. Peter said, God did that. As a matter of fact, that word begotten, and I know this ain't going to mean a little peace to most of you, but boy, it excited my heart. I found out it was in the aorist tense in the Greek. That meant that it was something that had happened never to be repeated again. God begotten us. God saved us one time forever. Never to be repeated ever again. Preacher, how do we get all that? I've said a lot of people, their hope is that they've got enough. Their people, their hope is that I've done enough. Talk about wrapping these pipes, you know. There are people going to hope, well, I hope I've wrapped them enough. There are those I talk about gas. Well, I hope that I've got enough. I'm hoping, I'm hanging on that maybe, you know, I've done enough. But you know what Peter said? Peter said, our hope isn't like that. But he said, we've got a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why I've got hope today? It's because He lives. I've got a hope today because my Savior lives. Preacher, this ain't Easter. Well, this is pre-Easter then. I've got a hope because my Savior rose out of the grave. I thank God today that I am tremendously blessed. This world is doing this to us. This world is squeezing us like this. This world despises us. This world hates us. This world's getting darker. Have you thought about this right now? And I'll throw this out. Just see what you think. Just crossed my mind one day. They've been talking. They've kind of quit down. But for a long time, they were talking about them drones all over the place. And up north, and people were all upset. Crossed my mind one day. Man, that'd be a good time for the Lord to come. Because there'd be a bunch of idiots would say, "Oh, somebody in them drones sucked them all up, now they're gone." The world's going to have some crazy ideas while the church disappears one day. Preacher, are you worried about them drones? Not in the least. Because I serve a risen Savior who lives within my heart. But Peter didn't stop there. Peter said, "You've got a living, a lively hope to an inheritance. To an inheritance. I don't have a vast inheritance. I don't have millions of dollars to unpack. So that whenever I leave this world, my family can divide it and have it. They have everything I got. It ain't going to amount to much. But I want to tell you, we have an inheritance because of the living hope in the Lord. Peter said it's incorruptible. That word incorruptible means not able to be destroyed." Over the last couple of weeks, if you watched any of the news, they have shown out in California multi-million dollar homes just a pile of rubble and ashes. I've read this talking about this home was 6.7 million. And this home is 15 something millions. And I want to tell you, all those millions didn't preserve them. Peter said, "I want you to know you've got an inheritance, incorruptible. It'll never be destroyed, it'll never be wiped out." But then he said, "Undefiled." It is the idea, not polluted. Well, I'm telling you, the streets of our cities here are polluted. There are, as Adam said earlier, right on the main streets in a lot of cities, homeless tents sit right up on the streets of the city. People tossing their garbage and trash out. Peter said, "Our home over there will never be defiled. It'll not have garbage dumps. Thank God it will have no violence, no sin, no sorrows, no sickness, no sadness. It'll never be a stain on the street of that city. And then he says it faded not away. Unchanging. Time changes everything here. For those there, there'll be no more time. Time will be no more. Nothing will ever change in the streets of that city. And Peter said, reserved in heaven for you. Peter says, being kept for you. It's being kept for you. All these were people that no doubt had lost about all they ever had in life. But Peter said, you've got a place over there, an inheritance. Unlike anything this world has to offer. I have seen pictures of the many fancy places. I have told you I went to Fillmore House one time in Dallas. Walked through the Fillmore House. Amazing place. But to compare the Fillmore House with heaven, the Fillmore House would be more like a hobo's shanty on the side of the railroad tracks compared to what God has waiting for His children. But there's one other thing I want you to see, and I'm done. Peter said in verse 5, he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter said, all this is being kept for you. And you are being kept for it. Not only is God keeping heaven waiting for you, but God's keeping you till you get there. I don't worry about losing it. I don't worry that something will happen and one day I'll get up and I'll say, man, I must be lost again. Because I am kept by His amazing grace and power. Thank God. Thank God that there is hope beyond this life. Just over 100 years ago, Rufus Cornelius wrote a song that back in my home church we used to sing, and maybe here, I don't remember it if we had, but maybe, says these words in the chorus, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. All the streets of glory can be lived by force. Chairs all past, home and last, ever to rejoice. Thank God I'm glad I have a hope. In a world that's getting darker and darker and more difficult, I'm glad I have my hope. Just to go back, finish what happened in my story to begin with about my homesickness. I got so homesick, I had them to call home and tell them, come get me. And they did. And when I got home, everything was all right. I think that's what John had in mind when he saw all of heaven and he said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe he was just calling home, said, will you come on and get us out of this old world? And there's going to come a time he's going to get us and take us home, and it'll all be all right when we get home. That's the message of my heart. I was going to preach this last Sunday and the weather came, and I thought, well, Lord, what do we do? And all week he kept saying this. He kept saying this. So I appreciate his help. I hope that it will encourage your heart just to keep pressing on in a day when it's getting darker and darker. He's going to get us home one day. He's keeping that over there for us, keeping us here, and one day he'll get us there by his grace. Let's stand to our feet. David, if you'll come, get us a song. There may be a need in our heart today, something you need from the Lord for your life. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're facing things that have gotten you so out of heart. There's one who can help you and encourage you, strengthen you, and remind you of who you are and what you have in the Lord. So while we sing, the shoulders open, you need to come.
123.